Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. All right, everyone. Hi, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. Today's guest is Megan Jones, who is a psychic medium, self-mastery mentor, and spiritual teacher. Megan has a passion for helping others discover their true self by recognizing limiting beliefs and overcoming subconscious blockages and wounding. She created her podcast, Chasing Spirituality, to share her personal experiences in the hopes of empowering others to stand in their truth. Her life intention is to help people align with their soul by providing healing, spirit messages, and insight. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm glad that you're here, and definitely I'm interested to hear your story. I know that you are a psychic medium and a self-mastery mentor, so I wanted to kind of hear the backstory in terms of how you learned how to become, or how you were a psychic medium and how you began to like reconnect to your own soul. Like, take us through that story.
Okay. Yeah. So my story, I think, is pretty similar to a lot of people on this path where we lose ourselves and we disconnect from our purpose and from our soul. I wasn't really supported growing up. I didn't have family that was very nurturing. And because of that, I learned a lot of limiting beliefs. And I learned that to make it through life and to be accepted in society, I needed to be someone else. I needed to put up all of these false pretenses and pretend to be just like the crowd so that I could fit in. And one day I just became really disconnected from everyone, from everything. I could feel the disconnection from myself, and I didn't know who I was anymore. And I didn't know what I was passionate about. Honestly, I felt really depressed. I didn't feel like there was anything that I, you know, was happy to live for. There wasn't anything that excited me other than my family and my friends, but there was nothing about me that I loved anymore. And it really just, it hit me that it was because I didn't know who I was. And so I started doing this, I guess it's more of like an unlearning of who I thought I was supposed to be, of the things that I was supposed to like and the things that I was supposed to do to fit in. And I started just throwing that stuff away. And this opened me up to spirituality and to this energetic connection that I've always had to the spirit realm that I remembered having when I was a kid. I started having these flashbacks of having conversations with my spirit guides and with my spirit team. And then I started remembering how much I loved watching spiritual teachers and psychic mediums on TV. And I just became engulfed in this world again. And instead of letting it scare me, or instead of letting the fear of people not understanding who I am, I just let myself accept it. And from there, I started understanding myself again and where I fit in this world and how I have my own abilities and my own gifts that are unique to me. And I started opening myself back up to those and letting myself use those.
So I do have a question in relation to this, because I don't know if I missed this, but what was your religious upbringing like?
So I grew up in a small southern town in Alabama, and everyone was some version of Christian. We had Baptists, Methodists. But if you weren't Christian, then everyone kind of looked at you crazy. Now, my parents, they didn't really speak a lot of religion to me. They just kind of would retell me what they thought everyone else needed to hear. And so from there, I just became really confused, because I would go to church with my friends and with family, and I would hear all of these stories about this God that sounds honestly kind of harsh, you know, a God that's going to punish you and send you to hell because you made a mistake. But that didn't feel right to me, because the God and the universe that I felt like I knew was loving and understanding and caring. And so it just really created this deep internal conflict of, well, then what is God? Because am I wrong, or is everyone around me wrong?
Right. Did you encounter any type of guilt or concern when you started opening up to this world of spirituality? Because it definitely deviates a lot from what traditional, you know, Christianity is, at least especially in the South, you know, because there's more hell, fire and brimstone in the South than anywhere else, I feel like, in the world. So did you feel like guilty, any concern, any worry? Did you tell your family this was something that you were going to do? Or did you just keep this to yourself as you were kind of reopening up, like exploring and, you know, reading different types of texts and connecting?
I kept it to myself for a while. There was only maybe like one or two close friends that I felt like I could, I guess, open up to about it. But at first, when I first, I guess, started opening up to the spiritual side of it, I kept God out of it. I wouldn't use the word God. It would really just turn me off. Just saying God was really just cringy to me. Like, it just made me feel weird. So I would stay, I would use terms like source and energy and universe. And then my husband, who has always been very religious and he always followed a Christian path, he actually had, I guess we can call it a dream. It was more of like a vision, but he had a dream where he saw this eye, and the eye started expanding, and then the eye started talking to him, and it told him to tell me that God is at the center of it. And he told me, and when he first told me, I was like, he's just trying to bring me back. Like, he's just worried about me, you know, like he's trying to convert me back. But then when I shared with him how I felt about who I thought God was, he was like, well, then maybe the message is for both of us, and that it's our God is the same, and our God isn't the, you know, the Christian God. It's not, you know, this God that we've been forced to believe our lives, but it is still at the center, no matter what you call it. And at the center is love. And so we both just came to this understanding that it doesn't matter, you know, what you believe, like the little things that you believe and the little stories that you follow, it's what's at the core. And at the core of all of it was love for us. But at first it was something I was really scared to talk about, even with him. And it's still scary sometimes because of the community that I live in, but I've gotten to where I'm more comfortable with sharing that part of myself. And I think that's really part of the journey, right? Is getting used to being authentic and expressing yourself, even in times when you know you're going to have to face adversaries and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, I think it is always amazing to me when spirit brings like confirmation or messages through a friend or a family member's dream that's for you, you know. It's always like, well, just come to me. Why do you need to go there? But I also think it's a beautiful thing. And I like that image of the eye, you know, because it reminds me kind of like the all-seeing eye of God, and speaking, you know, to him is incredible. So what if somebody were to come to you, a potential adversary, if you will, and they wanted to know, well, what do you think, you know, God is now? Like, how would you talk to them about the way you experience or the way you feel what we call God? I know you used other words like source and energy and what have you, but how would you explain this to someone who is maybe like questioning them, you know, starting to do a little bit of questioning right now for themselves? Like you said, some of the stories that they're told in church isn't necessarily resonating with them, or there are a lot of contradictions that they're reading. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. There's some confusion here. What would you tell them?
Yeah. I like to, it's the best way I like to explain what God is for me is God is life. So anything that has life, anything that has that original life force, that original energy that keeps us breathing and living, is God. So I'm God, you're God, the plants are God, you know, everything has God in it, and we're all made up of God. And if you look at it more of an energetic concept, it makes it not as, it makes it harder to follow some of the dogmatic principles when you look at it that way. That's how I would explain it in a very condensed form. if they want it a lot broader, which I get those all the time, my daughter's very intrigued by that stuff. You know, I just tell them that God is everything. Everything that exists wouldn't be here without God. God is thought. God is everything.
Exactly. So as you were opening up to this new world and doing a lot of self-discovery, what did you encounter from the spirit side of the world? Like, how did you meet your guides? I don't know who your spirit team is, so I was curious about that too, that you work with. Can you kind of talk to us about that reconnection and what that looked like for you and how you were able to do that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think a lot of people on this path they're in search of that, you know, they're in search of connecting to their team and to their guides. And for me, it started off with just this knowing that I was bigger than just Megan, you know. It was, I like to call it what an awakening, like most people, you know, suggest. And your podcast is a beautiful name that suggests the same thing. Is you have this awakening to where you realize that you're so much bigger than this current incarnation, this current life that you're living. And so it started with that. And then once I realized how connected I was to everything, to all lives, to all incarnations, to every person, I realized that I could connect to all of my past incarnations, all of my future incarnations, and my current incarnations. And I realized that everyone's really part of your spirit team then. If that's true, if we're all one and if we're all connected, then every person you encounter in a way is a part of your spirit team. They're a reflection of you. They're here to teach you something. But as far as going into some of those deeper connections, I realized that my strongest connection is my higher self. And it's so subtle because it's you. It's a version of you that's been with you your entire life, but also over every life. So it took some time for me to realize that I was connecting to something else, like something bigger than me, something outside of myself, because it is so subtle. But now it's probably my favorite connection that I have. I do connect to other forms, which I would like to say I have guides that I guess they're here for me in certain ways. Like I have a guide that helps me with spiritual connection, with connecting to spirits when I have my mediumship sessions and things like that. I call that guide my gatekeeper guide. And I guess you would say that's his purpose. And then I have guides that are here to help me with abundance and here to help me with my inner child and you know, just things like that. But I really think it's just an energy that they bring. And at the core, they're really just a part of who you are. They're just a part of your soul.
What were some of your first experiences as a medium connecting to spirits that have crossed over? Did you have an expectation of what that was going to look like? I know you said you have a guide as a gatekeeper, but when you were connecting with those other energies, what was that like? Or as you continue to do it as well.
Yeah, I will say it's nothing like what I expected. I thought that it would be really, intense, to be honest with you. I thought it would be like, wow, I can see this spirit. I can see what they look like. I can hear their voice. I feel like they're right here in the room with me. But it's for me, and I can't speak for every medium, but for me, it's not normally like that. I mean, sometimes there's certain energies that are more intense. But for the most part, it's still very subtle. And the information that comes through is very quick. It's not, it doesn't completely take over. So it wasn't anything like what I expected. For me, I decided to do a mediumship course, and It was my first time doing anything like that. And I really wasn't given a whole lot of instruction, just, hey, this is the person you're reading for. Let's go for it. And I was just supposed to kind of write down anything that came to me. And so I would get like these random words or these random thoughts that would pop in my head that just to me, not knowing what I'm doing, it seemed like I was just thinking these things or I just randomly thought of these things. So I would see like a pill bottle, or I would see a pretty sunset. I would see a fluffy white dog, and I would just write these things down. But then I realized as I would say those things back to the person, they would say, yeah, well, my grandpa had a fluffy white dog, or he was on a lot of medicine towards the end of his life. And I realized that it's just really subtle information that comes through that you think isn't important, but it really is. And it made me realize that we're constantly connecting with spirit, our spirit team, our spirit guides, our loved ones in spirit. We're just not aware of it.
Interesting. So what have been, I have two questions here. First one, have you ever had any strange encounters as you've been connecting with, you know, spirits or deceased loved ones, you know, from the other side? Have you ever had any strange experiences? And then the second question would be, what have been, you know, what are some of your biggest takeaways from having connected to those who have crossed over? What have you, you know, learned the most from them during your readings?
Strange encounters. I'm trying to think if I've had any. I had probably one of, I guess, the strangest encounters. I was teaching a course on the Clairs, and we were in the middle of the course. Everybody was listening. There was nothing crazy going on. And then all of a sudden, everyone in the room felt a cool breeze, like, touch them, and someone left the room, but no one was there.
Oh, weird.
And I was like, it was just this spirit. I was like, he wanted to show you guys how to use your clairs, apparently. So that was probably one of the strangest things that I can think of. And then takeaways, the biggest takeaway that I've had developing my own mediumship is to say things as they come. Like, don't feel like you need to filter. Don't feel like you're making it up. Don't second guess yourself, because I have realized that our ego will try to get the best of us and make us feel like we're wrong, or that we're making things up, that we're, you know, it's all in our head. But really, some of the times where I didn't want to say what I saw or what I felt have been the most rewarding when I actually spoke up. And I can share a situation if you want me to.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So I was, this was one of my first sessions that I did. I think it was like my second or third session. So I was really nervous, but everything was going well so far. I had a connection. She was confirming everything that I was saying. But then for some reason, the spirit took me to a movie theater, and I saw myself walking into the movie theater, and I was like carrying popcorn. And the movie theater looked like a movie theater that I would go to. It looked like the one up the road from me. And I was sitting there thinking, why would spirit show me this? This is so strange. And so I almost didn't say that I was at a movie theater, but my teacher encouraged me to say what you see, say what you hear, even how strange it sounds, just say it. And so I did. And she just gasps. And she's like, that's where I was when he passed away. I was walking into the movie theater, and it was just such a powerful moment. It was probably the most validating information that I gave her, and I almost didn't say it. And so for me, I would say never second guess yourself, no matter how silly or how unrelated it sounds or feels. You will be surprised at the connection that you've made.
What about animals? Do you have encounters with animals that have crossed over when you're reading for people? Do they come and deliver messages at all?
they do, actually. When I was in training, when I was doing my mediumship course, I had an animal come through, and I never had connected with an animal before. So I didn't know I didn't know what it was. I didn't really know how to express it. I just knew that it felt different. And I ended up kind of changing the connection from that it was a dog. And I shifted from the dog into a child because the energies are very similar. They're very, very playful, very sweet and innocent feeling. And so I ended up giving the reading to a girl for a little boy that she had done Reiki sessions on. And at the end of the session, I still just felt like I needed to reach out to this other girl in our group. Her name was Amanda, and I had wrote her name down. And so I just went for it, and I sent her a message, and I said, look, I know that I gave the message to the other girl in the group, but I feel like the beginning of the message might have been for you. Did any of what I, you know, did anything resonate with you? And she said, absolutely. She said, you're connecting to my dog. And she like pinpointed everything that I said. And she said, I know that it was my dog. I connect with animals all the time. It's one of my specialties. And it was so validating for me because I was so confused during the whole entire session because it just felt so different. And I was still in training, and it was so validating for her to come back to me and say, no, you were right. Like, you were right. You had a connection that was different. And I remember that moment so vividly, and it was so powerful for me.
So with animals, I mean, I think it's kind of hard to talk about, but you know, when a loved one passes, you know, they transition, they cross over to somewhere, to the other side is what we kind of call it. I imagine the animals do the same thing, obviously, but when you've dealt with animals and dealt with those who have passed, do they ever share anything about the other side with you at all, and what it's like and what they're doing and anything like that?
Yeah. A lot of times the messages are very, they're just very simple. They're not really elaborate because the best way I can think of how to describe it is they don't have the same kind of limitations and the same kind of worries that we have here on Earth. So the messages they almost seem so mundane, but it's because they're just so happy there. They're so carefree there. So a lot of times the messages about the other side that they give me in normal sessions, they just want you to know that they're happy, that they're with loved ones. They will sometimes let me know that they're with pets on the other side, or they're with other family members that have passed. And a lot of times they'll show me past pets that have passed before they got there, and they'll let you know, like, they're here with me now. But it's really the main messages that I get is them just wanting you to know that they're happy and that they're at peace.
Do any spirits that you've encountered, have any of them shared what the actual transition process is like? Because I think many people, I mean, obviously, I think one of the biggest fears on this planet is, you know, the fear of dying and not, you know, going into the unknown. And obviously, again, with Christianity, it's the heaven or hell concept that, you know, pervades all minds. So I'm wondering if any of these spirits at all have shared with you what it was like, you know, to transition to wherever it is that they're going.
Yeah, so I've had encounters with my spirit team. We've had discussions like this, and it's very similar to, have you ever heard of Michael Newton's work,
The Journey of Souls? I love Michael Newton, yes.
Okay, so it's very similar to that work, actually, where they feel this pull to step into the light. And they always have the choice. They don't have to go. A lot of times they decide to stick around for a little while to make sure that their family's okay, to really understand kind of what's going on, to see the grieving process. But most of the time they decide to cross over and to step into the light. And what happens is they don't ever receive judgment, like we would think in a biblical context. It's more of a life review where they get to see everything that they've learned, everything that they've experienced, everyone that they've helped, but also everyone that they've hurt. And this isn't for them to feel necessarily judged about it, but it's so that they can incorporate every lesson that they were meant to learn in this lifetime, because as a soul, we need to learn how to express ourselves in every different facet. We also need to experience things from all angles. And so sometimes our lessons that we were meant to learn in this lifetime were lessons where we hurt others or lessons where we were hurt. And it's all part of our soul's growth as a whole. But there's never anything to be scared of. There's never any judgment or shame that's put upon us. It's all about our own growth. And once we experience this, then we're given the choice whether we want to incarnate again or we want to stay in the spirit world. But we're also greeted by our loved ones and by our entire soul family, because even though they may be incarnated at this time, time isn't really, doesn't really exist. So they can still be with them at the same time. And spirit is just so immense that it can be everywhere all at once. So you're still greeted by everyone that you've ever loved. You're never without them and you're never alone.
So would you say, because you said we could be greeted by our family and our soul family, what's the difference between the family and the soul family? Are they one and the same or separate?
I would say that really your family is your soul family. Now you may have physical family members that may not be part of your soul family, but I feel like the only way that you'll really know that is just by an inner knowing. Like, you know who you have a deep connection with and who you have just that, you know, like they're just your family. You know, there's this deep, deep understanding for each other. And that's who your soul family is. That's who you're going to be with over many, many lifetimes and all incarnations. And sometimes those family members are good for you and you have a beautiful relationship on earth. And sometimes they're not so easy. Sometimes they're meant to be a catalyst to bring you to growth and to bring you through hardships so that you can experience certain things that you were meant to experience in this lifetime.
So what would you say, and I know this is a really big question, I feel like you may have already answered this, but I thought I would ask again, just based off of where you're at now and all the experiences that you've had, what would you say the purpose of coming to Earth is for a spirit? Like, why do we come here?
I love this question. This is such a great question. To learn and to grow. And I believe our soul family, we're connected. Because we are a family, but also our soul is connected. So that's why it's so important that we also help each other, because if you grow and evolve, you help your soul family and your soul sister and your soul brother, you help them grow and evolve as well. And that's why you sometimes make that difficult choice to be the catalyst for them and to put them through trouble and to put them through hardships, because it helps them, but it also helps you, because as a unit, you grow and evolve together. And that's also what your spirit team is. Your spirit team is the soul family that decided to guide you from the spirit world instead of guide you here on earth presently. And whenever you succeed and you grow and you evolve, they really do embrace and they're so excited and they cheer for you because it helps everyone.
I think on an intellectual level, we have that understanding like, oh, you know, things are falling apart. That's great. I'm going to, I don't know, spread my wings. I'm going to grow and be a big, you know, better person. And I'm going to learn a lot. But when you're going through it, it's hell. And it does feel very lonely. And it does feel very, I mean, obviously it evokes anger and frustration. And it can be a very lonely place. And I think it's during those times, it's very difficult for us to believe in, you know, there being a bigger mission, if you will. And that brings me to this question about this whole idea of having a mission here on earth. You know, I've heard this many times, like with my own spiritual team, you know, they talk about this whole idea of there being a mission, and I kind of poo-poo it sometimes. I'm like, whatever. But I wonder, what do you think about the whole idea or the belief that everybody has like a specific mission here while they're on earth?
I believe that we definitely have a mission. I believe that we really have many things that we're meant to do during our incarnation. And I believe that we chose those things before we incarnated. We knew what our soul needed individually to really set us aside, to really push us to grow and to change and to evolve, but to also help the collective, to help the others around us. And this looks different for many different people. And I think that we have certain things that we came here that are more hardships, things that we're meant to work on that are more pressing on us. But we also have things that we're meant to do and things that, that we're meant to achieve that can really be part of our purpose. And I think that all of it plays together to really put you where you're supposed to be. And at the same time, we also have choice. So sometimes we get off track, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's not where we're meant to go.
That's true. So with what's happening across the world, and especially here in the United States, I know, you know, there's a lot of division here, you know, unfortunately, politically, socially, economically. What do you think is the bigger plan here? That's a really big question. But there's a lot of division here. And I mean, as you said, you know, we're here to learn and grow and expand. So what would you say is the point of all of this division happening now on the planet? Because things are very divisive.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think if we look back in history, we can really see that it's always been that way. There's always been so much division. And if you really look to the root of all of this, it's fear. Fear has always controlled us. And in my opinion, fear will always control us unless we decide to make the conscious choice to choose love over fear. And while things have gotten really dark and they've gotten really bad, one of my beliefs is that in order to really conquer fear, you have to bring awareness to it. You have to shed light on what the fear is. And the last several years, that's what's been happening. It's been loud and it's been angry, and there's been a lot of conflict and a lot of confrontation. But in my opinion, it's been necessary, because without it, we wouldn't have awareness. We wouldn't have all of this light shed on the division and all on the hatred and all of the things that keep us divided. So after awareness comes acceptance, and then comes more love. And I believe that we're on the track, on the right track to allowing us to really see what it's like to be supportive and to be loving towards each other.
Definitely. That's where my fingers are crossed that we're going in that direction. It's like, come on, I know we can do it, but man, it sure has taken a while. So one thing I wanted to talk to you about is the fact that you do help people overcome, you know, their doubts, their fears, and break through very limiting beliefs. Can you talk to us about that and what that's in reference to?
Yeah. So me, my personal journey, I had so many limiting beliefs, so many, I like to call them adopted beliefs, because most of us have these things that have just, they've been programmed into us at a young age. So if you grew up in a really religious family, then a lot of times you're going to be religious until you get to a certain age where maybe you decide to think differently or explore other options. And this goes really with anything that you're taught at a young age. This could be by your parents, from your siblings, from society, from your teachers. Limiting beliefs come from all different facets of our life, but it all comes from things that we've been told, taught, things that have been preached to us, and we accepted them as truth without question, without any really rebuttal against it. And as children, we're sponges and we absorb everything without question, because we think, well, this is an adult. The adult knows right. The adult's telling me, you know, this information, so it has to be true. And because of the society that we live in, we're also taught to conform, to not ask questions, to not think independently. And thankfully, that is changing, and a lot of people are expressing themselves and stepping out of the box. But all of these things are limiting beliefs. So since this was such a big part of my own journey, I realized that part of the reason why I didn't know myself, like we talked about earlier, is because I had all of these adopted beliefs that I just never questioned because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be liked. I wanted people to accept me and not disregard me. And I was scared. And a lot of people are scared. A lot of people fear the same things that I fear. And it's fear of rejection, fear of abandonment. And these are things that I had to really work on and ask myself, you know, is it worth my sanity? Is it worth my authenticity to give myself away to all of these things that are not important to me, to all of these things that I don't really believe? And that's what was making me feel so disconnected. That's what was making me feel unhappy for so long. And that's why I think it's so important for us to have that awareness around the things that we think are true and the things that we are forced to believe, the things that we believe we need to say or need to do, the ways we need to act. All of these things are, they're just false limiting beliefs that we have to remove to embrace the true self, embrace who we really are.
So you do help people learn, you know, to, like you said, embrace your true self. How would you define our true selves?
Yeah, your true self is who you are when you let go of any expectation from anyone else. How do you feel about something? What is in your true nature? And really, what is in your soul? You know, your soul is who you truly are, and everything else is ego. It's everything that you've just accumulated over the years. And it's kind of like, I like to think of like an onion, and you just peel away layer by layer by layer until you get to the center. And what's left is your spirit. And your spirit is nothing but love and understanding and acceptance. And everything else is just what you've been taught.
How, because we do have, you know, that egoic voice that is really loud and prominent, and it's what we listen to most all the time, and it guides a lot of, you know, our behavior. How would you help someone kind of break through that voice or the noise of that voice so that they can hear or be guided more along, you know, along with their, or guided more so by their inner self as opposed to what the ego is dictating?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this was something that I had to learn to do myself when I first started to uncover these limiting beliefs. And for me, it comes with a lot of self-awareness. So really paying attention to how you're acting, how you're responding, how you're reacting, what you're thinking when something triggers you, or when you become upset, or when you feel when you just feel like you need to respond in a certain way out of expectation, and really just asking yourself questions around that. So you would, you know, you could start by just, you know, how am I really feeling in this moment? Am I feeling judged? Am I feeling scared? Am I feeling anxious? Am I feeling angry? And then it's kind of just like backtracking from that. Okay, well, what's triggering this emotion? What's causing me to feel this way or think this way? And then sometimes it's just straight up asking yourself, is this true or is this a lie? Is this real or is this a fear? Because a lot of times our ego does shout at us because it has to shout to get our attention, right? It wants you to be afraid. It wants you to think that there is something to be scared of, that there's some kind of alarm. So if you really just slow down and ask it to just to calm down for a minute and then say, okay, well, what am I really scared of? Or what is my ego wanting me to fear? Then you can kind of peel that away and realize that it's not true. It's just the alarm has been set off.
Okay. There are many people who, at least I know that I've encountered, who want to get in touch with their higher self and they want to hear, you know, that inner voice, but they have so much skepticism, the same type of skepticism where they want to learn how to be more intuitive. You know, they want to learn how to be more psychic, or they want to know how to connect to their spirit teams, but they have so much doubt and so much skepticism, but they want to get there. What kind of advice would you give to those people?
Yeah, I've definitely been there. I would say self-doubt used to be my middle name. And I think it's natural. I think that it's natural that, you know, we want to put our power in other people, and that we feel disconnected from our power. It's very natural in the way that we're brought up nowadays. And my advice is to first start doing the work on yourself. And what I mean by that is when you notice yourself second guessing yourself, or maybe talking to yourself in a negative way, putting yourself down, anything like that, really start paying attention to that, because that self-talk is a limiting belief, and it's how you're shaping how you really feel about yourself. And I always like to ask myself, what advice would I give a friend in this situation? Would I tear them down? Would I beat them up? Or would I be supportive and nurturing and try to uplift them? And then I try to do that for myself. And then also just giving yourself the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think that this is your true self and it is your higher self that you're speaking to, just believe it. You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're not going around giving anyone bad advice, so it's okay. Sorry.
<Bless you. laughs> No problem. Definitely. I think with the whole hearing your inner voice, like you said, if it's giving you really great advice, if it's encouraging you, you know, inspiring you, motivating you, then what is the worst that can actually happen by trusting that voice? And I think, you know, at least from my perspective, people, and it's unusual for, I think it's very unusual for us to do a lot of self-interrogation. Like you said, that kind of thorough line of questioning to get to the root of what's going on, to really understand it. I think that maybe we've grown up in a society where we don't necessarily do that. We sweep things under the rug, right? Or we accept everybody else's definition of things. And I think, you know, for me personally, and I don't know if this is true for you too, but when I think about spirituality as a whole, I look at it more as like understanding yourself, the whole concept of know thyself, really.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So you are also a self-mastery mentor, and I wanted to ask you a few questions about that. What does that entail exactly?
So self-mastery, excuse me.
No problem, take your time.
So self-mastery is really the process of getting to know yourself again. So for me, it was really, like I mentioned earlier, letting go of all of those subconscious beliefs that I had accumulated from my parents, from family, from church. And it's letting go of all of that and embracing who you really are. And the only way to do that is to let go of what no longer serves you, of what no longer feels right, and what is not in alignment with who you are and your soul, and reconnecting to that part of yourself that has always been there.
Well, Megan, I'm so glad that you joined me today for for this discussion. It's been really great having you on. It's been super helpful. And everyone, I stated earlier that her podcast is Chasing Spirituality. And Megan, how else can people find you? Do you have any promotions? If people want to meet you and connect with you, you know, where can they do this?
My website is chasingspirituality.com. And I am on all the social media at Chasing Spirituality. And you can find me on there. I have readings. I have coaching on there. And my podcast is also Chasing Spirituality. And thank you so much for having me on. It's been so fun getting to talk to you. I love your podcast.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's been really great talking to you as well, Megan. And until we meet again, everyone, I hope you have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.